Got a question from Kitsune Ninetales. So, stepping into Manicore's shoes, are you consciously trying to emulate what he had going on, or heading in your own direction?
I always need to be faithful to the lore of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm probably the fourth or fifth guy, I think, to pretty much take on this role here. So, there's a lot that's been done before I got here. And if I was to completely break out on my own, then that would probably be bad. Mm-hmm. So, and Manicore definitely helped establish a lot of where things are going. So, my first job is really, like I said, to be faithful to what we've done and what we want to do. So I need to figure out, like, because there's so much content and so many people have worked on it, there's stuff that, you know, I think Pa Azatron had mentioned this before, that there's a lot that, like, we just don't remember about the game. And that's where sites like Paragon Wiki come in real handy to go through.
Absolutely.
And find out all of that stuff. Like, you know, go through there. My Find in Files works really helpfully on file program. So I'll go through and first I'll find out what we've said, and then I'll look through the story Bible and I'll see what we meant. Because a lot of times there was another question on the forums that talked about, like, what's the difficulty between those two, and really that's what it comes down to, is that the story Bible will have one way or one vision for how a certain event will play out. But then the mission designer down the road might have written it in a different way.
Right.
Or because just the nature of game development, things just didn't turn out that way. And so trying to reconcile those two things are pretty much what is really where the difficulty comes from in the two of them.
Yeah, I know there was one who had basically said when it comes to novelization, gameplay, when those contradictions happen, which one's right? Which one's canon?
The first one, I'd have to say, is the game. The game trumps all. If we've said it in the game, now that doesn't mean we won't come back and go, yeah, you know what, we were actually wrong about that. Sorry.
Right.
You know, we do hold that card. We generally try and only do that as a last resort. But, you know, first it's what we've said in the game, and then from there, like, we look at the story Bible to see what we want. And there's a lot of stuff that's in the story Bible that we haven't released to the public, and so there really isn't a big conflict in that respect. But where there is a conflict, I'd probably have to say that me personally, I would go game, then website, then comic book, then novel. The novel and comic book are probably, I could see going back and forth on, but Pa Azatron might disagree with me on that. But I like the comic books much more. They're much more now. Like, they take place, you know, they feel more tied to the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think that would kind of win out over the novels.
When Memphis Bill kind of ties in a question similar to that, how much of a bribe would it take to get a hold of that story Bible for a day or two?
Oh, yeah. That's my answer to that is always pretty much the same, which is if you guys update all the stuff on the wiki so that it's completely up to date and accurate and everything's there, then I'll let you guys look at the story Bible.
Nice.
Gotcha.
Because, like, I'll go there and you guys don't have everything. Like, there's a couple things that are missing that I'm like, hey, why isn't this there? You know?
Yeah.
Which is also why I have an account, but have yet to really post much on there.
Very cool.
Okay, Memphis Bill, get to work.
Yep.
Now you know.
I'm sure the people at Paragon Wiki are going to love to hear that.
Yeah. Got another question from O'Lantern. Do you prefer creating new stories with the existing factions and elements or creating entirely new factions?
I actually kind of like using existing factions a lot. I mean, I can create a lot of my own stuff. Like, I don't have any creative issues with that. It's just more of there's a nice kind of puzzle element to taking something that's already in the game and putting something new to it that that a player who was to buy the game tomorrow, like, wouldn't realize that there was actually, like, multiple hands that touched that idea. It's one of those things I kind of like about this particular type of job, is that, you know, you come on and there's so much existing content already there, and your job to kind of add in new content where it needs it, but then not really make it so that it stands out mm-hmm. as something that's that doesn't fit with right. the area. And that was kind of the trick with the Midnight Squad this time around. Was like they're, I think, a great example of that is that, you know, my hope is that player picks up the game tomorrow. The fact that now we have these other contacts for the Midnight Squad, you know, throughout the different zones, isn't like, why, what are these guys doing here? Like, mm-hmm. this doesn't fit at all. Like, you just kind of go, yeah, they've always been here. Like, you just, it kind of works itself right into the tapestry of the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my answer for that.
Cool.
It's also what I pretty much had to do at my last three jobs. So, it's, you know, it's like you come in and the game and the lore is kind of there already, and it's your mm-hmm. job to kind of, you know, take it to the next place mm-hmm. that it needs to be.
Cool. Kind of skipped over one from Kitsu Ninetales, had another one in terms of Ultimate Veto. Is it you or Posse that decides what storylines in the next issue will be based on, whether Reichsmen or Banished Pantheon will be the focus, for instance?
I think at the end of the day, it's actually Posse has the final say, but he definitely gives me enough rope to hang myself on a regular basis. So he's... There's a lot, like the Midnight Squad's a great example of that it was something that I felt very strong about, that we could really do a lot of cool stuff with. And he was like, all right, go do it. So, and, you know, and then there's other stuff that we'll come back for that, you know, he'll be like, nope, we need to do it like this. I mean, he's been on the game for so long and he has so much familiarity with what works and what doesn't work that on a, seems like a daily basis, I'll be bringing up, you know, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? And he's like, yeah, you know what? Like, I used to think that would be cool, but it's not, and here's why. And then he'll kind of teach me and guide me towards, like, you know, where the game needs to be and stuff. So that's really nice. That's really good to have.
It sounds ideal, actually.
We've got another couple that people who are thinking along the same wavelength. Let's see. Rose had asked, putting Posse's comments aside about fan-created missions, because it's a long way off, and I would presume.
...
Yeah.
Right.
Would you ever be willing to run a player-based contest where they themselves could help write a COH storyline and bring it into development? And along a similar vein, Zombie Man says, would you want to see fan-based story suggestions, or do you need to keep up a high wall to prevent accusations of stealing ideas?
The first one, as far as the player-based content or the player-based, you know, let them kind of create their own story, and we have like a contest with it, and, you know, whoever wins gets their story arc into the game. I think that's an excellent idea. I actually thought when I first started working at Cryptic, I thought there was a thread somewhere that had a thing like that going. I know mm-hmm. X-Lib sent it around to me, but I didn't know how to like flag my forums to, you know, bookmark it or whatever, mm-hmm. and so I lost it. But I think that would be a great idea. I think there's a lot of good fan stuff there. Mm-hmm. It always comes down to an issue of bandwidth at that point. Because mm-hmm. when we did the comic book contest, I remember even that was somewhat taxing mm-hmm. on us to try and go through all of that, because there were so many submissions.
Yeah.
And it was a comic book. Like, unlike someone who writes, you know, 5 or 6 missions for a story arc, and then we got to read through all of them and figure out, you know, which one we want to bring in. So do I think it's a great idea? I think it's a great idea. You know, is there a way that I could manage that or handle that? Like, me personally, it's, you know, I could do that, or I could give you my own new missions for an issue.
Right.
I think it'd be pretty much about the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that, like, you know, I know there's a big fan community of people out there doing their own fan fiction and stuff like that.
Right.
I think if a group like that kind of got behind it and, you know, there was a big push within the community, I would definitely be willing to look at the best of the best in that respect. And then Zombie Man, who seems to be in my brain more than he should be, I've noticed, he was asking about whether or not we can get submissions from stuff or we get them. I actually get a fairly decent amount of submissions from people with different ideas that they have for the game or what they want to see, or like their own origin story, they'll send over to me and kind of want some feedback on it and stuff. And when I have time, I generally try and respond back to them. I'd have to look at the EULA to see exactly what the rules are for any of mm-hmm. that stuff. But I think it's kind of a situation that if it comes across the forums or if it comes to me in a PM, that it's pretty much like fair game for us to use if we want to.
Gotcha.
Now, is that cool on our part? Like, maybe not, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that might not, you know, but I think a lot of times what my experiences that I notice, I'll create, or another mission designer will create a story arc that is very similar to the ones the player wants to see or that they came up with themselves, because the themes of the game kind of push our imaginations towards that same idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a decent amount of that. I've never had any issues with people kind of going, hey, you stole my idea. Because generally, if they find their idea in the game, it should be a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, my other thought of that is I'm, like, thinking about going, like, well, that mean I'd pretty much either be, like, if I could get to the position I'm at now by, you know, taking the ideas from the forums, I would either be a genius or a hack, which right. which I could be a bit of both at any given moment, so who knows.
Well, then we have a question from Epic Hero. If you could choose a universe-altering event for COX, what would it be? Which group or groups would be involved, and why?
This one might be a little, like, this is a me personal one, not necessarily the game in general, but I would like to get rid of the teleporters.
Really?
I kind of, like, it was a little jarring for me when I first came on to the game, like, when I was as a fan, as playing. Like, I understand that, you know, in a mass multiplayer environment, you need to have a way to go and get your corpse or a way to respawn. But as a mission writer, it makes things very difficult to kind of try and give any type of real weight to what you're doing, because you never, like, there's no real consequence to your actions. And I think even the comic book showed that, like, Mark Waid in his first ones that he wrote for it, like, he takes that away from the story. Like, he brings down the teleporters, and in the process, now all of a sudden you're like, oh wow, these people could really get hurt. Like, this is big time now.
Mm-hmm.
And they even had, like, one of the old, I think it was Rick Dakin doing the old Blue King stuff for the comics. There was a whole, like, jury episode that had, like, you know, those things being screwed up, and how, like, it actually involved in someone's death. And it really feels like when you want to, like, that's one of the issues I have kind of have coming in. Do I have a gameplay solution for it? Not exactly. I have some ideas, but nothing that you're going to see in issue 13 that's like, oh, hey, we got rid of the, you know, when you die, you teleport back to the hospital. But if we did ever do something like that, it would have to be an event that we change drastically in how the game works. And it would probably involve the Richty, since, you know, from the way I remember the lore on that, pretty much we stole the technology from them. And it would definitely, it would be a world changing event for that.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Well, odds of us seeing it, not likely. But but yeah, that'll be my choice, I think.
It seems like every other MMO is trying to find ways to integrate fast transportation systems, because people complain so much about how long it takes to get around. And take out telepaths would be huge.
Yeah, like, you would definitely have to come up with something else. Like, I've always kind of got the opinion that early mass multiplayers, it felt more like you were just trying to come up with ways to make me play longer.
Right.
To get more cash out of me. And the minute I started to feel like that, I became very uninterested in giving them my money.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of situations where people have seen that. But I think we've also seen, like, as MMOs have matured, there's been more of an interest of making sure the players are having more fun on a regular basis than the fact that they just have to play longer.
Right.
And I think that's something you always need to hold to. Like, and we're getting more and more to which is why you see a lot of stuff a lot of design mechanics that are coming from console games or from other PC games, where there isn't a monthly charge, because it's kind of what players expect the stuff to get better.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad to sit in a room with people and you go, well, this is a really bad idea. And they're like, well, when I was playing insert some old mass multiplayer game that I don't want to mention, you know, you should have seen that, because I had to stand in line for the guy to spawn. And,
right.
You know, and you're like, really? Like, does that make you the idiot, or does that make the game the idiot? Like, so, at least that's always been my take on it. I've always wanted to kind of, it should feel very natural. And I think we're doing a good job of that. So, yeah. And, you know, that's my preface to, if I was to ever pull the pads out, it would be a system that would actually be a step forward from that.
Gotcha. So we don't need to totally freak out right now. We can just know that if it were to happen, there would be an improvement. So, okay, I can breathe
also,
again.
Yeah. Also know that Hero 1 has no authority whatsoever. It's just some guys talking.
Right.
Yeah.
See the posi veto question.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Got a question from Blue Sigma 3. From a creative perspective, where do you get your inspiration from... or inspiration for these stories and or storylines, comic books, novels, slight twists on real life events, then insert fantastic elements?
You know, I get this question every now and then from people, and it actually reminds me of a Peter David review I had read once where he got the question posed to him about where does he get his inspirations from, and he actually gave like a mailing address that you can send like $15 to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll send you really good ideas. And it would just happen to be his home address that he was giving out. At least I believe that was the story.
Nice.
As an aside, a friend of ours, Mer Lafferty, who's an author, just started a daily project where every day she does a blog post with a new story idea that says,
awesome,
this is Creative Commons, use it, don't use it, just give me credit. And it's called The News from Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie. She did Playing for Keeps.
Okay.
And put it out as a patio book for free for everybody to listen to. And it's about superheroes and bad guys, good guys. It's really amazing.
That's pretty cool. I definitely love good superhero books.
Well, it's very good. And she actually is a former player. She doesn't, I don't think, play now because she spends so much time writing. But she has created some characters in the game that she got the ideas. I'm not sure which way it fed, whether... The game fed her ideas on characters for her book or whether she created characters based off of her book, but she loves the game too.
Is it a comic book or a novel?
Novel.
It's a novel. Okay.
Yeah. You had a plain for keeps novel.com.
Or the Merverse.com.
Yeah.
So there we go, Mer. We plugged you.
All right. I'm looking at the site right now.
Awesome. She's an amazing writer.
That is good. We could use some of those. No, most of the inspiration I get for the game itself comes from the game. Like, I'll read through the story Bible, which I have a bound printout of that I read through whenever I get a chance, because there's just so much of it to kind of parse through. Or going through old stories. A lot of times too, and I think, if you get any group of fans of the game together, they'll start talking about the great moments of the game for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, oh, I was doing this one mission and all of these robots, they just started to come to life like while I was in this room. And like, oh, it was awesome, right? Or it's like, I was doing this other thing, you know, and you kind of, and as a mission designer, you got to listen to that and you got to go, you know what? Like, there's a lot of like, go kill 10 skulls.
Right.
In the game, but every now and then there's other stuff that kind of stands out, and my overall push is to get less kill 10 skulls and more of that like really cool stuff. And so, you know, I'll look at those missions and I'll see like what they did differently. And then, you know, I'll troll the forums. I'm a pretty big lurker there to kind of go through and see what people are asking about or like how they want to see things a little bit differently. And then, like, it was kind of weird because for issue 10, like, looking at because my stay, like, I've been on the team for about a year now. And so it's really not that long, in all honesty. Like, I'm still fair, in my opinion, green on project. But issue 10 was just, like, trying to play catch up and get all that stuff, you know, make sure I didn't spell a guy's name wrong or something like that, which I do way too often. Issue 11, there was a lot. That was where I really got to delve into the history of the game because we were doing so much flashback content. It was really a chance to look at what it was that we were, you know, like what brought the game to, what stories brought the game to that place. And 12 was kind of the first time for me to kind of start branching out and like looking at it. And now like I have a list of stories on my whiteboard that I didn't get a chance to tell.
Oh, cool.
And so I've now gotten to that place where I'm like, oh, we really need to do that. Oh, you know, it'd be cool. Like, yeah. Like one I can give you guys one, because if it shows up or not, it doesn't really matter. for issue 11, I always wanted to do a Groundhog Day mission.
Ah.
That would be a blast, where it was like, cause you're time traveling and it's like you go back and just like every time you go back, there's just one thing different that you have
awesome.
To do. To try. And the problem is like, you know, a part of me just is like the cruel joke of the game designer would want to put you in like some office map because you always have to see the office maps and
yeah.
just kind of,
right.
you know, and like, oh, I got to go through office. Oh, I got to fight the thorns again. Oh man. Like, you know, when's this going to be different? You know, but each time it's just slightly different to it. So who knows? Maybe someday I'll get a chance to write that. There really isn't like, that's kind of where, like you had asked before, like kind of where the ideas come from and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there isn't any right now, any contextual reason why that arc would need to exist. Right. It's just a cool idea.
Right.
And then the next part of my job would go, okay, what is it about like the theme of the issue as a whole that would make, you know, one of the contacts say, I need you to go and do this. Like, why is, you know, Mender Tesseract going to send you back to redo this thing all over and over again? Or why is, you know, the Pilgrim going to give you this mission?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fun part, because then you really start to go, okay, well, who is this character? Like, why would they really want to do that? And how does that build towards everything else that we're doing for the issue?
Right.
So, yeah.
You know,
I'm growing. I'm done. That was it. Sorry.
So then we have a question from Pathway. If you could change one thing about the pre-existing COV lore, what would it be?
I think that's actually might be, I think I answered on some level, I think I actually kind of might have answered that already with the one event that I would do to the game, is that I would probably change that lore aspect of it, that okay. I would pull the teleporters out. I mean, I thought about other stuff that I would change, and yeah, right now they're just either I don't know enough of the lore to hate any of it, but it's definitely there's a lot there and there's a lot to work with, so there's not a lot that I would go, you know what, I didn't really like how Statesman and Lord Recluse are tied together in their powers, or
gotcha.
I didn't really like how Synapse got his powers or whatever, but I think all of that stuff is really good, and it's fun. Mm. It's fun to explore, because so much of it we actually haven't really brought out to the players as much as we could. And so it's like, well, why would I want to change any of it? I can make it now. I could do whatever I want with it.
You know? That's absolutely true. Yeah.
I mean, that was the nice part about like the Biderweaves' web story arc for issue 11, mm-hmm. where, you know, you play a villain and you have to help Lord Recluse overthrow the Rogue Isles. And that was just great to get into Marshawn and kind of like what he's doing there and all of the aspects of it. And then also like doing all the fun little tidbits of the dialogue for that. That was actually one that Warwitch worked on. Like she actually did that arc.
Oh, and, wow.
Which you can kind of tell if you kind of know her style to, you know, when she does her zone population, of all the little like one liners that she puts in the zone as you play through, and you'll kind of laugh about stuff or whatever. And you can see that same touch that she has in those missions.
Oh, cool.
Very cool.
And a question from Blackguard says, I'm a huge fan of the Fifth Column. Even though I joined with City of Villains, their story has always fascinated me, and their arch villains are without a doubt my favorites. They had a cameo in I-11 with mysterious hints. I-12 will probably feature lots about the Path of the Dark and the Fifth, but I'm waiting for the heavy hitter Reichsman. What happened to him? Are there any hints you could share about the possible future endeavors of the Fifth Column or their heavy hitter himself?
Well, if I remember properly, Reichsman's actually frozen underneath the Freedom Phalanx's main headquarters. And so, let's see, I can't give anything like regarding plans that we have for him, though. But again, just as like some of the other stuff we talked about, like with Richty Homeworld, it comes up probably more than it should to be ignored. I think that it's funny, though, like this guy, Reichsman, like he's not in the game. right? Like he's a, if I, you know, I checked up and as far as I could tell, like he's just like a line or two on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that like one guy could have that much like momentum behind him.
Right.
Like we always get talks of people going like, when are you going to bring this guy out? And it's just, it's so funny because like we were like, wow, like really him? Okay. You know.
Yeah, I'll admit it. I didn't recognize the name at all when I saw it. I'll admit it.
Yeah, he's basically, you know, he's an alternate version of Statesman.
Gotcha.
And I think that like that idea really resonates with a lot of people, and that's why a lot of them like the Praetorian stuff so much.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome. Like, I think that stuff's great. I would love to, again, like, go back and explore some of that stuff as well, mm-hmm. given the opportunity.
Speaking of the Praetorian Earth, Dr. Illuminatus asks, could a player use Ouroboros to try to alter events on Praetorian Earth, i.e. save Miss Liberty, alter certain events in Dominatrix's life to turn her into Lady Statesman?
I would have to say that'd be a yes. Like, you know, you would have to be able to get to Praetorian Earth, and there'd have to be an Ouroboros there, which, since everything seems to be kind of reversed, you probably wouldn't end up with the Ouroboros that you know and love in our world.
Right.
So you know, you might, the effects might not be exactly as intended.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but in theory, yeah, if there was that particular method of time travel open to the players, then they would be able to, or to the characters of it, then they would be able to go through and try and do that stuff. Entirely hypothetically, of course.
Right.
You know, right.
Fleeting Whisper asks, are we actually going to see a reduction in the usage of the Prussian Prince of Automatons? I love Nemesis, and having the great mastermind behind 1.5 million schemes just vanish when his future self shows up would be disappointing.
I feel like Fleeting Whisper and I need to wear t-shirts that say, you know, vote for Nemesis. I personally think the guy's really awesome. I like the idea of the villain, the plots within plots. I think it's very cool. But honestly, like, we've kind of used him a lot of recent time. So mm-hmm. I don't think we're walking away from him, but we might be kind of dancing with another group, basically, for a while. But he's still there.
You're just mm-hmm. on a break.
Exactly, yeah. It's very much so. I mean, like, the stuff we revealed for the Rikti War Zone with him, mm-hmm. and then, you know, the stuff players have been able to parse together for issue 11, I think that it continues to set stuff up. It's just we need to make sure that we give some of the other groups some time, because there's a lot of really good groups in the game that we could kind of start looking at again and bring out some more of. And I'm sure he'll wait patiently for us to reveal everything.
Right. We have a question, another one from Ole Antern. What are the most important differences between writing a story arc and creating other kinds of fiction? Do you find it difficult to create a coherent story when you know nothing about the protagonist, the player, hero, or villain that will play through it?
This is actually kind of the nature of the beast for game writing. Like, it's the way that, you know, it's why so many other writers have difficulty, I think, trying to come into game writing, is because they try and put the motivation on the player and tell them what they feel and tell them, you know, how to act and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. it, especially for mass multiplayers, that just doesn't work.
Like, right.
People do not like being told what to do in that respect.
Yeah.
It's fine to some extent in like a first person game or a single player game. You're more along for the ride of that, and I think that's great. But for mass multiplayers, you really, you know, as a writer, you need to put your emphasis on the contacts themselves in this case, which is kind of the job that I do, is have them be the ones that are upset about what's going on, or they're, you know, unhappy about it. They're jazzed about what you're doing. Like, show the emotion through them, and let the players kind of decide how their own characters respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so there's some decent villain arcs that actually do, I think, a good job of this, where they kind of cross a line on what makes people feel should cross in regards to being a villain and being evil.
Mm.
And you know, you get, I mean, I've seen some forum threads of people, you know, arguing, like, did this go too far? And I think that's great. Like, I want to see more of that kind of conversation of, like, players going, you know, this isn't how, like, my characters don't feel like they, you know, like, that they would do this. It's like, well, then you have a great opportunity to not play that arc or to choose to do a different arc or whatever.
Right.
So, and maybe that stuff with the contextual dialogue or with the branching dialogue that we might be able to explore more to kind of give you an idea of that. But I'm not sure how much within the existing system we have, like, that'll actually be likely. But it's kind of going off into another angle there. But, yeah, essentially it's in order to try and do it for game writing to versus other forms of writing, yeah, you really have to kind of – you have to get used to the fact that you don't know who your main character is. And then, so then you, it's just about building up the setting and the plot and kind of let the, you know, character be what it's going to be, like what, who they want to be.
Got a question from Master Jedi Jared.
Oh boy.
Will the City of Heroes storyline continue with the predominant Greek themes and motifs? Will more ancient Greek stories and philosophies be integrated into new characters and NPC groups?
I think so much of the world of Paragon, I mean, even the name Paragon City ties back to that.
Right.
And I know when they initially were creating all of that lore, like, there's no way that we can really, even if I wanted to get away from it, that we could. And I think issue 12 is kind of the sign that I didn't want to get away from it. Like, I wanted to more embrace it. The balance to that is kind of, again, just what I was talking about before with, you know, you can't put words into the hero's mouth. They don't really like that. So it's like, if you start to go down a path where, you know, it's all Roman and Greek all the time, a lot of guys are going to be like, look, this has nothing really to do with my own origin, with what I want to do. So right. You need to balance those two things. But I think there's plenty of room to play within those themes and motifs. I mean, it's classic for our Western culture. It's kind of, I mean, it literally is classic with a big C. It's what we understand, like, without even knowing that we understand what's going on there. You know, it's right. The same thing with old school Tolkien fantasy. Like, everybody kind of gets it, you know, without having to really sit down and explain, like, what you would have with other genres, like what every class is and what everything's going on.
Right.
Right. Totally. So do you have a favorite mission or task force?
Well, right now it would be Time Zero. that's my favorite task force. My, and then also, I think actually for, it's funny, I'm just, again, I mentioned before that, you know, I've been buried into the Midnight Squad for so long that, you know, that's pretty much all I can think about. But I really like Montague Castanella's story arc, Lost and Found. We really got to do a lot of different stuff with each of those missions and really kind of do some kind of crazy stuff with the story. So I was really jazzed about that. And the fact that it goes from 10 to 50, I think, is going to be awesome. I think players are going to like that.
Yeah.
But Darren Wade's arc it's got some cool stuff. I think it's all about the last mission on that one, and I'm not going to reveal it to anybody. But there's some big surprises. And then even when you go back and talk to him at the end of the mission, you know, for those who maybe don't always read all the text, it might be worthwhile to read what he says when you go back and talk to him, because he kind of points out some interesting things of where he wants to see things go. So that was fun, because Darren Wade was once a member of the Midnight Squad.
Oh,
and he
kind
of pretty much, like, sold out, you know, stole a bunch of stuff. And now he's gone to the Rogue Isles, and he's kind of selling his information and all of the stuff he took from their stores, to the highest bidder. And so, yeah, you have some good stuff that you gotta do with him.
Awesome.
I think this actually wasn't really necessarily a question, but something I wanted to kind of bring up that I thought that I really liked how it turned out. This issue was normally for those who kind of deal with, you know, who go out to the zones and look for, like, the Easter eggs and stuff that that Warwitch puts out there. She had gotten this idea to do kind of this, like, mystery clue thing for the Midnight Squad zone. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, like throughout the zone, that there would be like these different clues that you would click on, and each clue would kind of lead you to another clue. It would kind of reveal some secret of the Midnight Squad. And she asked me, she's like, "Hey, do you want to write some stuff up for this?" And I was like, "Oh, I'd love to. This would be great. You know, I'm not sure how much time I have, but I'll see what I can do." And so, like, I started working on it, and I just went crazy. Like, it was so much fun. Like, there's 13 clues. And each one is like, I really tried to get into the lore and the history of the Midnight Squad, mm-hmm. and from different angles, you know, each time, where it's like one is a journal entry from the guy who first starts the Midnight Squad. One is like the skull of one of the guys who's now cursed and is on the, you know, that's like the first clue most people find, is there's a skull right on the desk when you first walk in, and that kind of starts all of it.
Oh, cool.
And you click on it. So it's, those were, it was different than the writing I normally do, because normally my stuff is all mission-based.
Right.
And this was really just kind of sitting back and going, all right, so what did happen to the Dream Doctor? Like, you know, how did, you know, so-and-so get their powers, or, you know, all of that stuff? Like, where did all these magic items come from? And so, yeah, there's some fun stuff in there. That was one of the things I really enjoyed, and I hope the players enjoy it. Our hope was to make it a little more accessible than the Easter eggs usually are.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, you walk into the Midnight Zone, and, you know, there's a guy behind a desk that you're supposed to talk to, and right there is the skull, and it's just kind of natural, like, you click on the skull, and it gives you a little bit of information and says, hey, go look for the other clues, and you're like, oh, sweet. And we give you a badge at the end of it, too, so that's nice.
Oh,
and you can just go onto the forums and, you know, find all the clues and where they're all at.
Right.
If you're that type of player. That's fine. But, or you can look for them yourself. They're not that hard to find. So
that sounds really fun.
Yeah. Very cool.
It was really, I was like, man, we should do this in every zone. This is cool. You know? So who knows? We might put some more of those in.
Oh, cool.
Nice. All right. I think we had one last question.
All right.
And, you know, we're really a fan project, but is there any way we could get some official hero names?
The real question finally comes out.
Now you know why it's the last one. We got you relaxed.
Yeah, that's true. Know? I'm like, all right.
A little tired.
Well, maybe you guys might be tired. We're still on work hours now. So,
oh, right.
So this is... Everyone else is looking at me. Are you still on that interview?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't have to work. This is awesome. As far as getting your own names, I think we might be able to arrange something. I could see that.
All right.
But it all depends on, you know, your willingness to completely give that character over to Hero One to do with what he will.
Okay, now I'm in a puddle on the floor, and I need Cheech to fan me because I'm just all woo.
I mean, it was one of the things, like this issue, I actually kind of experimented with creating a couple smaller heroes to kind of come out. I have a Kadabra Kill and Sigil or two that you probably won't even really notice are in there at all. But I actually had a lot of fun creating their background story and doing all the stuff with them.
Oh.
So that was fun. I enjoyed that. And I was like, man, I should do this. Of course, granted, I'm getting a handful of bugs about them, so maybe I shouldn't do this more. No, that was fun. And so I think kind of more stuff like that. We even had stuff like that in the comic book, like towards the end, like we started to bring in other characters and we had a mm-hmm. contest, and I love that stuff. Like, I think, like, the game that keeps us, you know, the thing that keeps this game alive is the people playing it. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's, we do it all for you guys. So anything we can do to kind of, you know, bring more of that stuff, I think that would be awesome. That being said, I don't want a, you know, huge
right
list of people that are like, put my name in the game.
Right.
My name in the game.
Yeah. Well, since we have your ear, I will say, for Cheech, without even asking him, we put ourselves completely in your hands. If you were to ever get the urge to do that, we totally trust you. And name us your caffeine addiction, and we'll send you cases, bribery, whatever. But caffeine, again, we understand the whole everybody wants their own, but we actually just asked as a joke. But yes, please, we trust you, whatever you want.
Yeah, it's that's just, I mean, that's the joy of it, right? Like, is to be working on a game that's always there. It's always going to be out. Like, there's always going to be new stuff for it. And because of that, It's so different than any other game I've worked on because there's always the possibility of doing whatever you want with it.
Right.
And so trying to actualize that every issue and trying to, I mean, it helps to keep us going, like to keep us so inspired about it. I was worried that if I was going to come on, I would be like, man, I got to work on that game for like ever. Like, really? And I'm like, oh, this is great. This is exactly what I would want. Like, it's, you're constantly building the story. Mm-hmm. You're constantly building the world and you're never done. Like, you're just always like, okay, what's next? And that's a great feeling.
That's awesome.
It's so cool too, because, and of course, all we know is what we see on the forums, but it just seems like such an amazing group of people.
It is. It really is. Like, I don't think I've worked with a better group. Everybody takes responsibility for what they do. Everybody mm-hmm. does everything they can to help everybody else out. They're all really talented. I mean, they kind of had to be. Like, this happened before I came on, but it's like when there was only the 15 of them, like, you couldn't have a slacker mm-hmm. in the group.
Right.
And you had to wear a lot of hats. I mean, they were supporting, like, how many subscribers off of 15 people?
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, you got to be rock stars to do that. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of daunting coming on and working with these guys and going, wow, like, they're the real deal here. And so it's been great to kind of try and step up to match their level.
Very cool.
And, you know, hopefully when we bring on new people, they'll be rock stars too.
Right. And, you know, right.
It'll just get that much better, which I think is pretty much what's happening. We're being very careful about, you know, how we have grown a lot since we moved in the offices, but mm-hmm. everyone seems like, you know, they've all seemed like good hires. Like, I think we're really going to be onto something. I think you guys are going to be really excited in the coming months, years, decades, whatever, you know, we can keep this game going.
Fantastic. Awesome.
Was there anything else that we didn't cover that you wanted to cover?
Let's see. Don't think so. I'm trying to think of, let's see. I pitched, you know, the wiki as much as possible because I like that. Yeah, I think, pretty much, I can't really think of much else. It seemed like a pretty decent interview. We covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And answered the majority of questions that I think needed to be answered by the fans. So that's good. Yeah, there's a lot of them. Oh, I did see one question on there that was, am I related at all to the singer?
Right.
That's funny. Yeah, which... there were times in high school where to meet a girl, I might fib a little, but no, there's no actual relation, thankfully.
As a girl, I can say that line would have worked with me because I had a major crush on him. I knew better, but it didn't matter. There was something I bet that would have worked well.
It never really did, no.
No.
I think that might have had more to do with me than the name.
You may have been pitching to the wrong girls. That may have just been the problem.
Yeah. Thankfully, I don't have to worry about that anymore. That's all. Happily married.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Joe. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been a blast. I hope I didn't ramble on too long for you guys. It's nice to have a captive audience.
If there's one thing we've found out from the fans of this show, our shows cannot be too long.
Absolutely. Amazingly. And believe me, they will sit however long this goes and be very happy because we have Hero One.
Well, that's good to hear.
So thanks again. And we hope we get to talk to you again soon.
I hope so, too. They might take my microphone away after this. We'll see.
We hope not.
Well, that wraps up this special episode of the City of Heroes podcast.
We really want to thank Joe for coming on and kind of breaking us in gently with the whole red name thing. And hopefully he's the first of many, and gosh, we'd love to have him back again. It was so fun talking to him.
Lighthouse and Ex-Libris for setting it up.
Oh, so yes, big thank you.
Very cool. Everybody's so awesome at that company.
I know. Big love. We're so glad our money goes there. It's a good investment.
And for everybody who hit the official boards and put in the questions, and, you know, sorry, I know we didn't get everybody's questions in, but, you know, we only had so much time, so we did what we did. So if you have any feedback for us, you can give us a call at 206-333-3206. You can send an email to cohpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on the site at cohpodcast.com.
And while you're there, join the forums. Look around. Don't post porn, but look around and have fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun there. Oh, and we'll have pictures from the listener meetup, which we don't have time to talk about now, but we will later.
Yes.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Great turnout. Lots of fun.
We love them all. So take care, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Talk to you next time.
Good hunting, heroes.
This podcast, its hosts, and websites are not in any way affiliated with NCSoft, Cryptic Studios, or City of Heroes.
All views expressed are solely of the hosts and their guests.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike license, which is explained in detail at cohpodcast.com.
Good hunting, heroes.